So I decided to keep it simple. I'm going to keep it simple today. I'm not going to get real technical. But simple doesn't always mean not vital. Simple doesn't always mean not crucial. Simple doesn't always mean not demanding. So keep that in mind as we go through this simple message today. And it's entitled, The Power of Attitude. Now, we've heard sermons, okay, over the years about attitude. And we probably have not heard enough. I know I haven't. I don't take the time to think about it because it's something really that should be natural. And your attitude can make you or break you. I've heard that expression before. Your attitude is very important. It can heal or hurt you. It can make friends or it can make enemies. It can make you happy or it can make you miserable. It can make you a success or make you a failure. Now, some people have an attitude that the whole world stinks. Okay. We can take that attitude. There's a lot of problems in the world. And it brings to mind an analogy, an old story that my family's heard before because I use this story. It's not one that I originated, but it's one that I like. And it has to do with cranky old grandpa. I used to make fun of cranky old grandpas until I became one. So I don't joke about them as much anymore because I can relate to them now, okay? Well, the story goes that cranky old grandpa fell asleep in his recliner and the mischievous grandson took some Limburger cheese and smeared it on his mustache. You may have heard this one before. Smeared it on his mustache and then he woke up and he says, "This room stinks." He stumbles out of the room into the hallway and he goes, "This whole house stinks." So he busts outside and he goes, "The whole world stinks." Well, the truth was, it was Grandpa who stunk. The problem was right under his nose. Most of the time when we begin to feel that things in life stink, even though there is much in the world that does, the problem oftentimes is not with the world or with others, our life, but ourselves, individually. The problem is that our attitude stinks. It's become negative. So when or if you change the negative attitudes to positive ones, okay, you will find that there's a change in your life. There's a lot of power in this word we call attitude. Someone rightly said that attitude determines your altitude in life. I know that's a clever saying, but there's so much truth to that. And this is one of those subjects that I am confident applies to everyone in this room. Because, you see, we all have attitudes. And the word attitude has negative connotations, doesn't it? When you say someone has an attitude, automatically it's bad, right? He's got an attitude. Well, so don't we all have an attitude? The question is it a good attitude? Is it a positive attitude? Is it good or bad? And sometimes they're not so good. At other times they're just plain nasty. But it's always somebody else who's got a nasty attitude. He's got a bad attitude. She's got a bad attitude. Not me. I don't have a bad attitude. That doesn't apply to me. Many of the ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you today come from books that I've read entitled Power of Attitude. There's a couple of them. The Awesome Power of Attitude, Sam Toler, Dale Calloway. And I've got some ideas from them, so I want to be transparent about that. If you hear something that maybe you've heard or read before. There's so much can be said about it, but there's three facts I want to share with you in the time that I have. about your attitude that we all need to consider. Number one, your attitude, your mindset, your character, that is your attitude, reveals the real you. Your attitude reveals the genuine you. That's who you are. It's your attitude. So how important is that? Yeah, sometimes we're a little bit grouchy, grumpy granddad, irritable, we're in a bad mood. But you know, moods, swings come and go. What about your overall attitude? Yes, we get a little frustrated at times. We miss that exit, or almost miss that exit, like I did last night. I had to stop in a place that I didn't want to stop. I was getting a little irritable, but I said, check yourself, Nolan, you're going to give a sermon, maybe a sermon on attitude tomorrow. I wasn't sure that's what I was going to speak about today. There's a man named Charles Swindoll. You probably heard him. He's a Christian writer, teacher, pastor. He writes, "The longer I live, the more that I realize the impact of attitude on life." He says, "Your attitude is more important than your facts, knowledge, whether you're right or wrong, more important than your past, more important than your circumstances. It's more important than your education, your money, more important than your failures and successes. Your attitude is more important than what others think or what others do." He says, "I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." Okay. We always like to blame our circumstances on our disposition, the way we feel, and our attitude. And that's the case with all of us. We are in charge. We are in control of our attitude. And we all need to understand, brethren, that our attitude, our mindset, is much deeper than just a few thoughts that you might think or not think. The attitude, your attitude comes from the core of your being. Your attitude represents your disposition. Your attitude represents your outlook. It represents, as I alluded to a moment ago, it represents your very character. It's who you are. As a man thinks in his heart, just finished my sentence. So he is, Proverbs 23:7. If I shake this bottle, the water comes out. Why did the water come out? Because I shook the bottle? The gravity? And the water comes out because what's inside eventually comes out. And I'm glad of that because I need this water right now. The water came out because it was filled with water. And what's inside comes out. Do not you yet understand that whatsoever enters in the mouth goes in the belly and is cast out into the dry. That's our Savior, Matthew 15, beginning of verse 17. Talking to those Pharisaicals that believe that there's washing and these rituals of washing all their utensils and their pots and dishes is going to make them cleaner. You know, this washing ritual. It says it's not what goes in by the man, it's what comes out of the man. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Those things that come out, those things that are already in there that you have not controlled, and they come out. He goes on to say, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man." The attitudes that you and I have are like a jack-in-the-box, get it going. When you expect it, it pops out. And it calls other people sometimes to look at us and say, "You got an attitude." You get away from him, he's got an attitude. He's something, he's upset, or he's offensive, or she's got an attitude. And automatically, you know, that's that, those negative connotations. We say attitude. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody says, he's got an attitude? Because it's good, positive, it's infectious and enlightening and inspiring. Our Savior goes on to say, Matthew 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Matthew 12, verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. How many times have we read these words and say, yeah, you know, wow, that's something we need to think about. And then 10 minutes later, here we are again, expressing that negative, nasty, backbiting, foolish attitude. I speak from experience, brethren. Words are the indication of the true principle of the heart. By the words, the heart shall be revealed. The heart shall be known, as the tree is by its fruit. And if they are true, if they're proper, if they're chaste, virtuous, instructive, they're pious, they will prove that the heart is right. However, if they're false, envious, malignant, malevolent, impious, immoral, they will prove that the heart is not right. The heart is wrong. And therefore be among the causes of condemnation. Your attitude. It's your attitude that keeps telling people what you really like. So how's your attitude? That's what I ask myself. How's your attitude? Look in the mirror. How's your attitude? Personally, I feel that this truth that I'm sharing today, that my attitude reveals the real me, to be quite sobering. When I do or say something that obviously wasn't the right thing, did I mean it? Where did it come from? It came up, it came out. Where did it come from? It came from inside. Where else would it come from? We can say, That was the adversary. That was Satan that made me do that. That's not really me. No, it's you. Because you made the choice to acquiesce to what the adversary wants nothing more from you. You made that decision. I made that decision. So understand, brethren, we're talking about circumstances, you do not have an attitude just because you had a bad day. All that a bad day can do is shake the bottle. Just shake the bottle and something comes out. So keep that in mind. Your attitude reveals the real you and the real me. Number two. Your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Some of us are a little older than others in this room, and we've made a lot of friends and acquaintances over the years, a lot of interaction with different people. How successful? I know there's some people out there that just hard to be friendly with. I get it. Okay. Even if we got the we do the best we can to display a light. Well, that's a good one. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We do the best we can, but some people we can't reach. And their attitude is their attitude. But we still continue to display that light that we're called. Let that light shine before men that they see. It has to be shining for anybody to see it. And when they do see it, we glorify God. And our behavior, our attitude. We have to ask ourselves at times, are we glorifying? Am I glorifying my Father in heaven by, with, through the things that I say, the things that I do, my attitude? And we're not just talking about out there when you're out in the world and you're behind closed doors, well, I can say what I want. Are you glorifying God behind closed doors with your family, with your spouse, with your children, with any member of your family? Are you glorifying God? You may never leave your house. That doesn't give you a pass. What a difference an attitude, your attitude makes. Your attitude affects every relationship in your life. And sometimes relationships will never get started in the first place if the attitude's not there. Because many times your attitude has built up walls, barriers, making it difficult for people to be around you. Bad attitudes. Bad attitudes affect your relationships. Bad attitudes affect your marriage relationship. Oh, it's her fault. It's his fault. I'm doing the best I can. She just can't. She just doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand me. How about let's make a little effort to understand one another? Okay, let's just make a little more of an effort to show a different attitude. Maybe it's you, but we don't. It's always somebody else that's got that bad attitude. I've tried. Okay. The thing that makes a bad attitude so destructive is it's like that bottle of water with a loose lid. Bad attitude is eventually going to spill out into some negative actions. It's going to spill out into some destructive words and destructive deeds. And then left unchecked, it's just going to continue to get worse. It's going to snowball. It's going to grow and get bigger till the consequences are almost insurmountable. The consequences can be such that there's no turning back. We read about in the Old Testament about two brothers and a sister. One brother, Moses, had a good attitude. You know the story? Miriam, Aaron. The Bible says that Moses was a humble man, meek. He was a humble man. It says in Numbers 12 that he was more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. People have a tendency to take advantage of that sometimes. You know, they know you're humble, easygoing, especially people with a bad attitude. They take advantage of that. Moses was teachable. Moses was cooperative. He treated people as he wanted to be treated, and he lived a life that was properly lined up with his Heavenly Father. So because he was humble, this is my opinion, they felt like they could say what they wanted to say. So Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, they chose a bad attitude, and eventually that spilled out. We know the story. Miriam is said to have the worst attitude, which influenced her brother. See, attitudes, bad attitudes, or good attitudes can be influential, can they not? If we have a bad attitude, that can affect others around us. So if you got someone as a family member and they're close to you, it may be a child, someone that looks up to you. If you have a bad attitude, he or she may have a bad attitude. Family member, we have a great influence on our family. So Miriam and Aaron, we know the story, they began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. Here are family members, get the picture, who Moses thought he could count on and trust. Okay, they became jealous of Moses because, hey, we're supposed to be leaders too. Well, you are, but you lead, okay? You don't compare ourselves with other people because oftentimes I don't compare myself with other people because I always fall short. I'm not going to compare myself to certain individuals, whether they be minister or otherwise, because I got to be who I am. God's called me to be the type of person that I am supposed to be, and I'm nobody else but me. And we start comparing ourselves to others, and we start developing a little jealousy. Okay? Oh, he thinks he's something else. You know? Yeah, he's not everything he's cracked up to be. I could do that better. You know, why is he doing that when they should have called on me to do that? So what happened? Well, as a result of the bad attitude, Miriam ended up with leprosy, okay, for a while. That'll get your attention, okay? You see, you can never trust people with a bad attitude because they will do things you never thought they would do. You see, most people who stir up trouble do not, out of right reasons, are good and noble intentions, but clearly out of bad attitudes. And that's precisely what. The fact that Moses had married a Cushite wife, an Ethiopian wife, was not the problem. The fact that he did that just shook Miriam's bottle. This was just a symptom. This was just an excuse. The real problem was that Miriam had a bad attitude. And then what she did, opening her big mouth, her and Aaron both, Aaron just followed suit, not blaming this all on Miriam. Aaron had his responsibilities there as well. It's just Miriam was the more vocal. All right. Jealousy, it stemmed from her jealousy of her brother's position, her brother's leadership, and out of her own poor self-esteem, she allowed herself to become critical and choose to cause trouble. Oftentimes, the things that we criticize and get all stirred up about are not the problem at all. The problem is just our own sour, sick, bad attitude. And I've seen them, you've seen them, we've seen bad attitudes destroy. We've seen bad attitudes destroy marriages. We've seen bad attitudes destroy families. We've seen bad attitudes destroy work environments. Okay? We've seen bad attitudes negatively affect meetings and even church services. Okay? Even in church. Even in services, in a holy convocation, somebody just, well, only takes one person. You can have 100 people in the room, and it only takes one person that can, with his bad or her bad attitude, can infect the entire group. You see, whenever you have an individual or a group of people filled with a bad attitude, wearing that loose lid, the trouble is going to come. It's bound to happen. Things will rapidly get negative. Your attitude, again, determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life, every single one. Attitude. It's that one word. Number three, your attitude is always your choice. Your attitude is always your choice. I like the man who was explaining to a friend about his college days. He said, no, I never actually was in the top half of my class, but I can say that I was in the group that made the top half possible. That's a good attitude, okay? Because just don't lie about it, you know? Everybody else is ahead of me, you know? We have some people in leadership positions right now that like to lie about their college days. I was in the top half of my class. And I got degrees in this, that, and the other, and it's all a lie. Just tell the truth. You're at the bottom of your class. Accept it. Be happy for the others. You did the best you could. Move on. Two men are in prison. One looks through the bars and just sees mud. The other looks out through the same bars and sees the moon and the stars. They're both in the same place. What's the difference? It's the attitude of choice. You choose. I've known people, we've all known people, we all know people today that are going through a very serious illness. We were just talking about some. Cancer is one of the most debilitating, one of the most frightening that we can think about. Some of us in this room have gone through it, are going through it. And over the years, I've known many family members and otherwise that have experienced and suffered with cancer. And there's two in particular that come to mind. There was a young a lady that was a member of our congregation, and she had myeloma. She had bone marrow cancer, very serious disease. It's typically a death sentence goes along with it. Average 10 years, maybe more. It all depends. And I recall that her attitude about it, her spirit about it, was very negative, constantly. And there's another man, gentleman, who was a coworker of mine who had the same disease. And he would come in my office with a smile on his face every day. And he says, whatever my God and my Christ have for me, I'm ready for it. He said, I'm just happy to still be alive. I'm happy for my life, the blessings that I've had. And sometimes he would come in and just ask me to pray with him. And he was always positive, always upbeat. And I'm thinking to myself as he walks by or as he comes in, this guy has one heck of an attitude, one healthy attitude. A light he was to everyone around him. I'm thinking, if I were going through what he's going through, would I have that same spirit, that same beautiful, wonderful attitude, positive attitude that he had about this disease? Contrast to the lady I just mentioned. She eventually passed away, and she lived 6 years after diagnosis. The gentleman I was talking about was in remission. He was beating it. He overcame it. And he says, I don't know how many more years I have left, but the years that I have left, I'm devoting it to God. I'm devoting it to people who are suffering like I have. I'm going to spend the rest of my life being a light to those people. And I'm thinking to myself, could the lady, and I can only speculate, could her attitude have made a difference? Maybe she would have lived a few more years. If it was just one, two, five, who knows? But the attitude maybe have made a difference. I know it made, I feel like it made a difference with him, because he was always asking for prayers. And he always walked as if he was going to live forever, because in his mind, he was. He was not going to allow this disease to beat him down and to create this negative, destructive aura or image in his life. You can't choose what will happen to you today, brethren. I can't choose what will happen to me. When we left the house to drive here Friday afternoon, I didn't know what was going to happen on that road, okay? I don't have control over much of that. Things happen. Things come up. So we don't have control over what will happen to us today, or we can't choose what will happen. We have control over certain things. Don't misunderstand. But we just can't choose the things that happen that we're not aware that are going to happen. It's beyond our control, but we can choose how we react to those circumstances. We can choose our own attitude. We each have the power, brethren, to decide how well we will respond to what happens to us. Dr. Viktor Frankl stood under the lights of the Gestapo court in a Nazi concentration camp. Soldiers had taken from Viktor everything that he owned: his clothes, his watch, even his wedding ring. That reminds me, I've got to put my wedding ring on this morning. You didn't notice that, did you? Just a slip. I got to change my attitude about that ring. I'm trying to share a serious story, and here I go off. They took everything he owned, his clothes, his watch, even his wedding ring, and as Dr. Frankl stood there naked, his body shaved before those sadistic men who tried to take every ounce of dignity from him, at that moment, Frankl said that he realized he was destitute except for one thing. He still had something that no one could take away from him, not even the Nazis. He still had the power, he writes, to choose his own attitude. And he chose not to give that attitude to his enemies. He chose joy. He chose hope. And he chose to be positive. See, the circumstances are irrelevant, brethren. We're going to confront difficult, challenging tests almost daily. Alternator goes out in the car. We got to take a trip. Get frustrated. How do we respond? It's our choice. Brother, no matter what has happened to you, and some of us have had tough times, we've had bad marriages, we've had bad health, we've had financial trouble, the attitude choice is still yours. It's still ours. And understand that our Savior wants to help us choose and cultivate the positive attitude. I find it interesting and tragic that the one thing that no person or circumstances can ever take away from us, the awesome power to choose our own attitude, is actually the first thing we give away. And we're in control of that, but we give it away. We give it away. We allow other people to take it from us. We allow other people to create in us, cause us to have a negative attitude. Your attitude reveals the real you. Your attitude determines the success or failure of every relationship. And it's always your choice. Now, very briefly, I want to, with the time that I have left, how am I doing back there, guys? No. We can handle that. He held up, was it 20 fingers? Oh, okay. It's four steps that will help you be more positive. I'm going to try to go through them quickly with the time I have left. First step in becoming a more positive person is to work at learning to speak positive words. Notice I said learn. And the reason is because speaking positively is something you must learn by practice. You got to do it. You can't just say, I'm going to start speaking positive words. Well, that's good. That's a good start. But you got to speak them. You've got to do it. And it becomes something that you have to practice. You have to do to become proficient at it. Just become. And I'm not talking about just writing down some words and say, I'm going to use this word. I'm going to use that word. Yeah, this sounds good. I'm going to use this and use that. No, we just got to start speaking. We got to come from our heart. We have to develop that heart of positivity. We have to develop that heart of encouragement. We have to develop that light inside of us so that those positive words just naturally come out. And we have to practice that. And we have to put that into practice. So most of us can do that without even thinking. When it comes to negative words come easily sometimes, don't they? Just, I don't know, why is that? Mama always taught me that if you can't say anything good, then don't say anything at all. And so some people don't say anything at all because all they got in their mind is these negativity, is these negative words. Where are the positive? If you can come up with something negative to say, why can't you come up with something not so negative? How about positive? Saying I like and I use quite often, I need to taste every word before it passes my lips. Think about it. The word comes to your mind, suppress it. Let's come up with something else. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, Proverbs 25, verse 11. The reality that you help create the atmosphere in which you live by the words, that's the reality. You live by the words that you speak. When your words are positive, you produce creative, loving, accepting, positive environment. You can do that. You can create that positive, uplifting environment. But when you speak negative words, you create a suspicion. You create mistrust and a cannot do anything right atmosphere. I like this passage in James 3, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, verse 4, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lists. Even so the tongue is a little member, and most great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kills. And the tongue is a fire. Verse 6, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among our members, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fires of hell. Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verse 9, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Same tongue. Out of the same mouth proceeds, verse 10, blessing and curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Shouldn't be this way. Does a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? In the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Therefore, brethren, the task of the Christian life is to eliminate our responsibility in our Christian walk, is to eliminate negative words, to do away with words that hurt, do away with words that tear down, that destroy, that are destructive. We need to replace them with positive words, words that build up, words that edify, words that encourage other people. No matter what happens, number two, in our effort to develop a more positive attitude, look for the good, and you will find it. The movie Pollyanna, the Disney movie Pollyanna. Pollyanna was this sweet little pure girl that was trying to infect all the adults around her that were negative. At the end of the movie, to make a long story short, the pastor in the movie, played by Carl Malden, Pollyanna was played by Haley Mills, things came together where people, you know, she went through a difficult period. People came to be with her. And toward the end of the movie, Carl Malden says, we looked for the good in them, and we found it, didn't we? And she nods her head. See, if you look for the good, and despite all the negativity that was around her, she kept that positive attitude, always uplifting, never allowed that to take her down until toward the end. And when she started going down and depression started setting in, the people came to her aid. All the people, all the adults that were always so negative, always backbiting and so on and so forth. The good finally came out because the good was there. They did not allow that good to manifest itself in their lives. So we look for that good. If we're looking for giants in the land, that's what we'll see. If that's what we're looking for, or we can look at the same land and we can see a land flowing with milk and honey. It's we choose. Look for the good. If you want things to work out in life, if you want a good attitude, you need to focus on the positive. Look for the good in every situation and every person, and you will find it. Number three, take charge of your thought life. Focus on your thought life. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, our writer, most prolific writer of the New Testament, Paul the Apostle, writes to the Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, we know the passage, verse 8, Philippians 4, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Learn, practice, put them into practice. So we have to focus on that, brethren. We have to filter out the bad. We have to filter out the garbage. We have to nourish ourselves. We have to nourish our heart. What are we feeding our mind? It's important what we feed our physical body. We know if we put the garbage in that it's going to negatively adversely affect our bodies. What about our minds? And we allow ourselves, we opened our mind to filth and garbage, whatever that may entail. There's a lot of it out there to go around. If we entertain that, then that's going to have a negative effect on you. Okay. Feed your mind on God's word. Feed your mind on the scriptures. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ. And there's so many passages we can go to that we can rely on that help us, encourage us to feed that positive attitude. But most importantly, brother, never surrender leadership to the negative. We need to always look for that positive. When you feel that mighty onslaught of negative emotion, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with that? Those negative emotions are going to come because we're only human. God made us human, and we're going to be confronted with things that create negativity in us. How do we handle it? How do we deal with it? Well, we have to replace it. We have to replace those negative emotions with positive emotions. We have to replace that anger with love. We get angry? Yes, we do get angry. And sometimes it's necessary to get angry. Paul said, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So there are things out there that make us angry. Almost daily I get angry at things that I see happening in this sin-sick world. And I feel those emotions of anger welling up. How do I contend with it? How do I channel it? How do I control it? How do I express that anger? That's what's important. Okay? So we replace that anger with love. We replace that fear with faith. We replace that complaining with gratitude. You know, we tell people, how you doing? Well, I can't complain. Doesn't do any good anyway. And that's true. Because if you're always complaining, where does it get you? It gets you a reputation of being a whiner and complainer. So don't complain. Replace the complaining with gratitude. Replace bitterness with forgiveness. Judgment with acceptance. Feeling sorry for yourself. That's one. That's a good one. I don't have the opportunities he has. I'm not in the circumstances that he is. And on it goes. Feeling sorry for yourself and saying to yourself, well, I'm in this. My lack of success and my failures is because I just didn't have the opportunities he or she had. And so you start making excuses for your lack of motivation, your lack of incentive, your lack of work ethic. What is it? A sure way of gaining victory and overcome negative emotions is learn to, brethren, replace it. And pray out those negative emotions. That's what Jesus did. He prayed out. He prayed on the night of his, right before his crucifixion. If there's any way, let this cup pass, but not my will, your will. He didn't want to do what he had to do. We don't always want to do what we have to do. With God's spirit, we can overcome whatever that situation is. So Jesus Christ showed with his own example how to pray out negative emotions to our Heavenly Father. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He had those same emotions. He had those same temptations, but he chose the positive confrontation. He chose the positive way to contend with it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:15 and 16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the hour of need. Brethren, there's a lot more scripture I could go to. For the sake of time, I'm going to forego them. I just want to say, brethren, we have an opportunity. This day is an opportunity. This day is an opportunity to be positive. You have the power to choose. What you think shapes who you are, shapes your identity. determining the type of person you will be and the things that you will do. The people who achieve their goals, the people who achieve happiness, seem to be happy despite their circumstances. They don't get that way by accident. They choose to have a positive outlook. And they choose and they make choices that shape everything else about them. Because we can all be in the same type of circumstances. But some of us seem to rise above the negative circumstances, and some of us seem to succumb to the negative circumstances. You have the power to choose your response to every situation. And that power lies, and in that power lies the ability to control who you are, to control your identity, to control your happiness and many aspects of your future. You're in charge of the second most powerful force in your life. That's your attitude. I call it the second most powerful because the most powerful force in your life is God's Holy Spirit. It's there. And sometimes we choose to overlook it. We choose sometimes not to call upon it, especially in the times of negative times. But that Spirit is there to help us overcome those negative emotions. Do we rely on it? Do we call upon it? Do we pray to God who has the power over our lives if we so choose? Final passage, brethren. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind and humility of mind, let each esteem another better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 4. Let this mind be in you. Verse 5. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was our example. He had a mind that was positive. He went through some negative, some destructive, some difficult times, difficult tests. You better believe it. Let that mind. It's a tall order. It's a challenging situation that we're in right now to have the mind of Christ and to let that mind guide us through not just on this holy Sabbath day, but every day beyond. Because those tests are going to come. And we have the power of attitude. And it's an awesome power. And we choose. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be positive? Or is it going to be negative? We choose. Let's choose the positive, brethren.